I'd like to invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalm, chapter 52. In our series through the book of Psalms, we've arrived at Psalm, chapter 52. I'm going to read verses 1 through 9, and then we'll begin our study together. Psalm 52. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs, like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Selah. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place, and root thee out of the land of the living. Selah. The righteous also shall see and fear, and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. And I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. Let's have prayer together. Father, bless us now as we look into this portion of the book of Psalms. May our hearts be challenged, and may our hearts, Lord, receive a blessing and be prepared as we would go before your throne of grace in prayer this evening. For it is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. We're going to be looking at the topic, Psalm 52, the end of the wicked and the expectation of the wise. You'll notice the inscription of Psalm 52 reads as follows: to the chief musician, Maskil, that means instruction, a psalm of David when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul and said unto him, David is come to the house of Ahimelech. The setting of this passage takes place during that period of time when David was fleeing from the presence of Saul. If you take time to read the background as you would go home this evening or perhaps tomorrow morning, I would encourage you to read 1 Samuel chapter 21 and chapter 22. You'll see that David flees to Nob, to Ahimelech, the priest's house, and he asks for bread for he and his soldiers to eat. Ahimelech, not having bread, provides him with the hallowed bread from the tabernacle, since he had no other bread to provide. And then, of course, he also asks for a sword. The only sword that is available is the sword of Goliath, and that sword is given unto him. But then an interesting statement is found, which introduces the character Doeg to us, that is found as being mentioned in the introduction to Psalm chapter 52. And that is that the Word of God tells us in 1 Samuel 21 and verse 7, a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day when David received the showbread, and he was there to hear and to see when David received the sword of Goliath. And he was like a fly on the wall. He was listening. He did not really make his presence known. He was the chiefest, as it says, of the herdsmen that belonged to Saul. And we know from studying the narrative, chapter 21 and chapter 22, that Doeg later goes to Saul and relates the entire incident. He wanted to get points with King Saul, you see. And he was responsible as a result of communicating this information. King Saul, in a fit of rage, slays the entire household of Ahimelech. Ahimelech included 85 priests die because Doeg was a stoolie and conveyed all that he had seen for his own purpose of ingratiating himself with King Saul. And you'll notice that in verse 21 of 1 Samuel 21, David makes this statement when someone conveys to him that 85 priests were slain because of what happened that day. He makes this statement in verse 21. I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he would surely tell Saul. Have you ever been in a situation where you have a gut feeling that something is going to happen, and you know that perhaps there are ears listening or eyes watching, and you know very well that those individuals are going to quickly turn around and use what they've heard for their own purposes? Have you ever had a premonition of something that would transpire because of a situation like I've just described? Well, that's exactly where David was. David said, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he would surely tell Saul. Ahimelech is against you, Saul, and nobody is willing to tell you about it except me. And here I am. I'm going to tell you that he's aiding and abetting the enemy, and you ought to take action. And I'm the only one that's faithful enough to convey this to you. And you know the sad part about it, what conveyed and actually formed the setting of Psalm 52 was when David, feeling heartbreak, made the following statement in 1 Samuel 21. He said, I have occasioned the death of all of the persons of thy father's house. And he's conveying that sadly. And he felt that guilt and that sorrow and that anger all mixed in one moment of time. Now, we're going to be looking at this passage of Scripture in the following way. In verses 1 through 5, we're going to look at the rashness of the wicked. The rashness of the wicked. And we're going to see that Doeg figures predominantly. If we understand the historical setting properly, we can see that the primary character that's referred to here is Doeg, the one who was responsible for conveying that information and being responsible for the death of so many. The rashness of the wicked, verses 1 through 5. Then in verses 6 and 7, we're going to look at the reaction of the wise. Even though the wicked may be rash, we ought to have the right kind of reaction. There's the reaction of the wise, even when things happen that we don't understand. Our reaction ought not to be rash, but we ought to have a wise reaction. And then in verses 8 and 9, we're going to conclude with the rejoicing of the wise when we see that God is in control. Let's quickly, just for a few moments before going to prayer this evening, let's take a look at the rashness of the wicked. Notice it begins with a question. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? Now, you know who the mighty man is now, don't you? You know that David, historically, is referring to Doeg, this man who thinks now, as a result of his conveyance of information to King Saul, this guy thinks he has the world in a paper cup now. And he thinks that he's riding high. He scored his points. And this is a reference, clearly, to Doeg. And he says here, "Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man?" Not only had he spoken evil and prevaricated the truth, you know, prevarication is a euphemism for the bad word lying and distorting and telling lies. And yet, you know, sometimes we can convey truth even with a wrong motive. And that was Doeg's information and purpose right there. You know, it's amazing to see the evil things that men will do and then think in their minds that they're right with God and that they're serving God. People today will gossip, will plunder individuals' reputations and destroy and speak evil of other believers and think that they're actually serving God. Well, I think of the religious leaders in Christ's day, rejecting the living word and yet thinking that they were following the paths of orthodoxy. Even Saul of Tarsus vehemently sought the extermination of Christianity, thinking he was doing God a favor. He later found out that that was certainly not the case. But Doeg thought that by doing this deed of treachery, in turning in someone who had denied fidelity towards Saul, that he would be able to be involved in accolades. And basically we have an Old Testament example, folks, of apple polishing. Individuals who step on anybody's neck and do whatever they can to ingratiate themselves in the eyes of a superior. And if any of you have ever been very long in the workplace, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't have to linger on verse 1 very long. But notice, he says here, "O mighty man, the goodness of God endureth continually." You see, the Word of God tells us, if you'll turn back to chapter 25, just take a few moments to look back to chapter 25 and verse 8. In the context of the wicked deeds of men, isn't it interesting that right in the same verse, the psalmist talks about the goodness of God? Why? Because the Bible says, "Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way." In other words, David was leaving Doeg in the hands of a good God, and God would be the one to execute vengeance on the wrong deeds of Doeg. David was in a position where he could not do anything to Doeg, but he just left it in the hands of a good God. And that's why tucked in one verse are the wicked deeds of men. And David is able to say, yes, men are wicked, but God is good. And God protects his children. God will deal with Doeg. God will see to it that Doeg gets his just deserts. And you know, when we can search in vain to see where that has actually taken place, but you know what? Payday is not always on Friday, is it? Doeg still needs to stand before God at the judgment, does he not? And yet here he's claiming the goodness of God in the midst of the wicked deeds of men. And I'm wondering how many of your spirits are vexed today at the things that you've heard on the radio, on the statements that you've heard on the TV or in your reading, and you see how wicked men are raising their ugly heads seeking to destroy the ancient landmarks that brought God's blessing upon the founding of our country. And yet in the midst of the wickedness of men, I claim the goodness of God, and God is a good God, and he is a God that endures continually. But then let's go on. It says here, speaking of Doeg, and notice he talks about the tongue here. Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs. We're going to be studying the tongue in our series on the book of James on Sunday morning. We're only in chapter 2 this coming Lord's Day, but we'll get to chapter 3 before long. But we know that the tongue is set on the fire of hell, and it can destroy reputations and cause battles even between countries. Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs. You see, Doeg took a little bit of truth and he ran with it and totally maligned David's motives. He knew that Saul had jealous tendencies, and he capitalized on those jealous tendencies that Saul had, that Doeg knew, and he gave them further impetus by adding fuel to the fire, because he knew how to approach and how to take advantage of Saul for his own benefit. And oftentimes that'll be the case. Individuals that are involved in wickedness know exactly how to approach other people who have weaknesses in their lives to wrap superiors around their finger to deceive them and to cause individuals to look wrongly upon others, as Doeg did to David. But his tongue devised mischiefs. I'm sure he rehearsed his spiel very, very carefully. His tongue was like a sharp razor working deceitfully. You know, it doesn't take long to slice someone and to mortally wound them with the tongue. The tongue is like a sharp razor knife. Thou lovest evil more than good. Words that apply to Doeg, but also transcend to anyone who will allow his tongue to be used for evil purposes. You know, we as believers, we need to dedicate the members of our body daily to the Lord. Yield your members as instruments of righteousness. And folks, if we don't, it is so easy for our lips and our tongues to be used in the energy of the flesh as instruments that will be used by the devil even among God's people. Thou lovest evil more than good, lying rather than to speak righteousness. Many, instead of gossiping righteousness, they gossip evil, you see. And we're to think about that. Selah, the Word of God says. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. Again, specially referring to Doeg. But notice verse 5. Ultimately, the wicked are in the hands of a holy God. God shall destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living. Selah. Four striking figures here in verse 5 describe the end of the wicked. It says here they'll be destroyed, taken away, plucked out, rooted out of the hand of the living. Let us beware what we do with our tongues. And you know, Doeg passed from history, but God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we've seen the rashness of the wicked personified by Doeg here. Now let's take a look at the reaction of the wise in verses 6 and 7. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. You know, in the end, the wicked become a laughingstock in a universe that's controlled by God. And we have here in verse 7, God's punishment of the wicked that serves as a reinforcement for the righteous to keep on obeying God. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. Undoubtedly, Doeg was promoted in the midst of Saul's kingdom and was rewarded handsomely. But you know, all of the riches and the abundance of this world will not save man in the time of God's judgment. And we need to have a wise reaction. And we need to realize that God is in control. And that in the end, the wicked will be the ones who become a laughingstock. Then I want you to notice in verses 8 and 9, the rejoicing of the wise. We can rejoice even in the midst of the calamity, such as what David went through. He says here, I am like a green olive tree. I don't know how much you know about olive trees, but they live a long, long time. There are some olive trees that are said to have existed at the time of Christ, still in existence today. And he uses here a simile of an olive tree to describe the believer. David is basically saying here, when he describes himself as an olive tree, he's saying that the one who trusts in the mercy of God is going to be productive and he's going to be secure. Productive. Notice, a green olive tree. Productive and secure in the house of God. What productivity, what security in the house of God. I will trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. Then let's go on in verse 9. He goes on in his rejoicing. He says, I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. David looks back to the faithfulness of God, those things that he has done. He looks back and he praises the Lord. But then he looks forward in 9b. And he looks forward and he says, ah, now I will wait on thy name. Those loose ends that have not yet been handled in the past, I'll wait on that, Lord, because I know that I can rejoice because it's in your hands. And Lord, I'm not going to take Doeg into my own hands. I'm not going to dip my colors and do what he has done, but Lord, I will be willing to wait on whose name? Whose reputation is really at stake? It's God's reputation to uphold his testimony. You know, I would be in a lot better shape if I was less concerned about Pastor John's reputation and more concerned about God's reputation. And I think that I have a sneaking suspicion that that's true with you too. Let's look to his name, his testimony. God's name is at stake. And you know, his name gives us the backing and the assurance that he is going to straighten matters out. Not always in this life, folks. You'll not find a heaping testimony of what happened to Doeg in his life and how God brought all kinds of calamity. But it, like Yogi said, it's not over till it's over, you see. And there is more to come. And there may be some loose ends in your life where people have wronged you and said wrong things. And yes, there's been the rashness of the wicked, but let's have the reaction of the wise that is willing to give to God those matters. And rejoice. Don't let it affect your ability to serve and worship God. Don't let it affect your being an olive tree. Because if we react wrongly, we're going to die of dry rot. And we're going to shrivel up and be fruitless for the Lord. But a right reaction results in rejoicing, giving over things to God, and you know, then we'll begin to produce fruit and we'll be a source of oil and worship and nourishment to others, dwelling in the house of God, and we'll praise Him for the things of the past that he's done, and then we'll wait on him, because his name, it is good before thy saints. The Lord's name is good. His reputation is at stake, folks. And shall not the God of the universe do right? Yes, he will. We can encourage ourselves in that. It is good before thy saints. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this brief psalm that Lord has a special historic significance in David's life, but Lord, one time or another, we've been here where we've seen innocent people suffer. We've been maligned, perhaps, for doing right. Our motives have been distorted, ridiculed, maligned. But Lord, it's not our name that counts. It's your testimony, your name. And therefore, Lord, our reaction will be that of wisdom. And Lord, our rejoicing will be in our hope of what you will accomplish through the trial and even the testing. Now, Father, I commit these words to those that may be going through a trial of affliction, perhaps some that may be dealing with anger in their hearts over unrighteousness and things that don't seem fair, don't seem right. Lord, help us to release that in the name of Jesus Christ, that we might be productive servants of Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.